Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of Bikini in the Brain. Ashley's already cracking jokes. We're trying to give
you I'm over here. I don't know. I'm just so smitten because I get to talk to you guys and I get to see Adam here via Zoom. So that's pretty exciting. Technology is awesome.
Yeah, right? Isn't it cool? So, Ashley, I want to start the podcast, but you know what? I know this girl who's dying to start the podcast today.
Yes.
I hear you have a funny story.
I have a very funny story to tell. You know what? It's very unrelated to anything, but I just want to say what a small world we live in, okay? Because, listen, I don't know if anybody saw my Instagram stories, but I have this awesome seasoning, right? This one right here, Kinder seasoning. I love the seasoning. It's buttery, garlic, and herb, but what I liked more about the seasoning was this really cute old man on the back, right? You see him? Isn't that the cutest old man you've ever seen? Like I said on my story, this is a cute old person and I wish he was my grandpa, which just to clarify, he's cute in a grandpa kind of way, right? You know, so I'm like, this is such an adorable old person. I wish he was my grandpa. I kid you not. Then I get a message from his freaking grandson being like, that is my grandpa. And he's like, we can ship you some seasoning if you want. I'm like, what?
No way.
What a small world. Like, what? Like, I'm like really good with this apparently because like that happened with the Crocs too, remember? Crocs.
Yeah.
I was wearing Crocs and somebody that worked at Crocs like sent me a whole bunch of Crocs. And then like when I was in Japan, I mentioned, oh my God, these little jelly things are delicious. And people send me that. Like, people are awesome. But Wow, what a small freaking world. What?
That's really funny, actually. You got a whole bunch of seasonings coming your way now?
Yeah, because hey, I said this grandpa was cute. Like, what?
That's so funny. I remember the Crocs. They gave you, like, a bucket of Crocs. They
would take that was crazy. Like, what a small world. Like, not only is it small, but people are just, they're awesome. Like, they appreciate, you know, seeing that you enjoy their product and they send it to you sometimes. That's so great. I know you get that sometimes too, but just kind of like, you know, even the little things, it just makes you sit back and like smile, like, wow, that's crazy.
That's what a positive note to start on.
You yes. Know? Great. Good like note that. To start on.
That's a positive note. And you know what? Good for them for getting a free plug too.
Right. Yeah. It is cool. That's a cute grandpa though, for real.
So you guys know, me and Ashley are both like seasoning snobs. Like we are all about the spices. I took her to this place called Penzi Spices for the first time. It's like a crazy spice store. And I think she spent like $210 or something like that.
Yeah. I still have some of those seasonings. Good stuff.
Yeah, the spices make life. I think people, when they're struggling with their diet, they don't realize if you just added calorie-free spices, like it changes your whole game. So,
yep. So anyway, when you remove the fat and you remove the sugar, you got to replace it with some flavor.
There you
Lots
go.
Lots of seasoning.
So what is our podcast today about?
You know, I think it's only appropriate to kind of talk about like the seasoning because, oh my God, did I say seasoning? Oh my God.
I was like, wait, maybe I heard that wrong.
No, my mind is still shocked about the seasoning, but we should talk about the season of 2020, the competition season of 2020, because it's off to a very unpredictable start, you could say. If you guys are up to date on social media, you know that shows are getting postponed, shows are getting canceled because of the obvious, a pandemic that's going around. So like, yeah, it's definitely a unique time and a very long off season for a lot of us now.
Yeah. So going into that, what is your take on it?
You know, I mean, it really seems like the promoters are doing everything they can to keep the show going and keeping optimistic and positive. But at the same time, it's beyond their control to some extent. And it's probably going to get even more and more like that. So I would not be surprised if I don't, I bet my prediction to you was, I bet you July will be when we start to see like shows again, because it's really tough, you know, on the promoters if they have a situation where no one can purchase tickets to watch in the venues, if it's just like the competitors on stage, like I'm sure that's where it gets tricky. And then venues sometimes out of their control as well, when venues cancel, like they did with the Junior Nationals, which was recently announced to be postponed. So it's kind of like, you know, all these factors that are out of our control. So, you know, and at the same time, better safe than sorry, but you know, it's going to be an interesting few weeks ahead to see how this all plays out and if the isolation is doing anything, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So I've been talking to some of the promoters, which has been really nice to hear from their side of things, which just so you guys know, like there's some big name promoters and they've been around the game for, you know, 20, 30 years and they're killing it. But for the most part, most of the promoters are like smaller time promoters. They have like two or three shows and they're just getting it started. So they're not like guys that are like killing it. You know, they're not like crushing it. Like you see anyone at the top level, obviously they're crushing it, but there's a lot of like guys who just have a few shows, two shows in a small state or whatever. And a lot of the promoters I've talked to are actually like really trying to just keep it going and keep the sport alive. And like, they're like, you know what, if we don't make money, that's okay. We'll make money next year. And I've been like, man, you guys are it's so cool to see that. You know, they're just like, you know what, it's for the athletes. And if I have to lose a couple $1,000 and we still have the show, then next year the people will know that I kept it going and they'll come more next year or something like that too. So it's been really cool to see. The promoters are really stepping up. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, too, I work closely with our promoter. I don't say I work closely with him, but he's my friend. He's been my district chairman for 10 years. I've been close with this guy, Jeff Taylor. And I was talking to him about the Mile High, which is supposed to be happening May 31st. And so May 31st, that show is, as of now, it's still a go. He's still 100% on board. He's trying to make it happen. People are stepping up. I told him that that I would set up a live stream if they couldn't sell tickets, so we could at least do it that way and do commentary. And I'll put that offer out to other chairmen too. If you feel like your show is not going to be able to have an audience, like I will get together with someone and try to create a live stream and do commentary of your pro shows. If that helps you guys at all, I'm happy to do that as often as I can. I actually like doing that a lot. So, and I'm willing to kind of sponsor some of those shows too, to help out with, I know ticket sales aren't going to be where they are. So if you guys are promoters out there, I want to get it going just as bad as you guys want to get it going. I'm willing to step up, go out there and help sponsor and hopefully help the cause. And do as much as I can too. So reach out if that's a possibility for you guys. So, but the promoters, they've been doing a really good job, and they're doing what they can now. One of the factors that we didn't see coming was that it's not just the promoters. So was it Junior USA's, right? Junior USA's was just got postponed. I forget
Junior. Junior USA and Junior Nationals, right? The Chicago one and the South Carolina one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So both. So in one of those, the Chicago one, I always forget which one is which. I'm terrible at remembering all of them. JM actually is really cool. He sent me a text today about that. And he was saying it wasn't necessarily that they wanted to cancel the show. So it's not the promoter that wanted to cancel the show. It was the venue itself was not wanting to have any large events for until at least like July. So it wasn't them who want to do it. So that's a variable that we really can't control when the venues change, because it takes a lot to get these venues. You book them out, honestly, like, so you guys know how the promotions go, these promoters book out these venues like a year in advance. Like they have their show like May 15th and they already book it by the end of May for the May 15th again. So it's hard to get. So it's going to be a lot of shows I think are going to be kind of moved around, I think. So
mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think too, like if there are shows that are still like a go and they're still able to happen, it's also going to be like, I wonder how many competitors will show up, because, you know, it's really hard to get into 100% contest prep mode with just like home workouts. Yeah. You know, I think it's easy to maintain, or I shouldn't say easy to maintain, but it's very possible to maintain, but to actually, you know, go from that 90% intensity to 100, that's what really makes the difference. I know in me, that last 3 weeks or that last month, I'm like, yeah, with, you know, so much more intense. So I'm wondering if the competitors themselves would feel comfortable with like basically a whole prep from their home. So yeah. I'm not sure the exact like rules, and different states have different rules, but I think it's pretty safe to say like 99% of the athletes are in a home workout situation. So I'm wondering if that's like, if they're going to see a big turnout because it's like the first, you know, time they get to experience the stage after this long break because of the pandemic, or if they're going to be hesitant and be like, well, I need like another month in the gym, an actual gym, to prepare myself to get contest lean and contest ready.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, it's kind of becoming, this is what I've thought about this a lot. Like as a competitor, I know it would be harder to be like as motivated, you know, as a competitor, to like, just because the variable of, I don't even know if my show will get pushed back, right? So you have, yes, you have that mindset, and that's definitely like a realistic factor. I think you should have that in the back of your head, because it's the reality of things. But here's the thing that people I think aren't thinking about. Let's say you're that pro athlete, or you're that amateur athlete who is trying to get your pro card or trying to get qualified for the Olympia. You have yourself, and you can stay motivated through this. Well, you have yourself quite the opportunity, because of the variable of, okay, let's say that USA's happens in July, right? And that's the first pro qualifier, but 90% of people out there are thinking, oh, well, I want to wait to see one show happen before I start prep. So those people who wait to see if USA's actually happens, they don't start prep until they see it happen. So they got another, let's say 8 weeks at least, because they're keeping it tight before they do a show. Well, now you have USA's that, instead of having 45 bikini athletes in your class, you now have 15 to 20, right? That's a pretty huge advantage. So I think when you weigh it out, like if you're weighing it out, like, hey, I really want to go to the Olympia, and you're a pro. One of the last pro shows where Itala won was 50 people in it, 51 pros or something like that. It was crazy. But the next pro show, like the Mile High, if it happens, it's probably going to have no international people. If it has any, it'll be very minimal. Right now, Phoebe's planning to do that one, and we'll. But she's. So she's going to fly back.
The
right?
International thing—that's a whole nother. Whew, so that will be a while. I'm sure.
If you're a local pro, like you're a United States pro, like you're probably not going to run into international people until, you know, July, August. So striking now makes a lot of sense, you know, to like stay with it and stay motivated, is because you might be able to get into a pro show with 15 United States, like domestic only people in May and June. I don't know. So it's like, it's kind of one of those things, like, is that, I think that's a motivating factor for a lot of people, especially going to nationals or going to pro shows and trying to qualify for the Olympia. It's like, hey, do I want to do it now, or do I want to do it in August and July, when everyone who wanted to do shows in these last 3 months is going to do those shows? You're going to see numbers probably beat the 50, you know, at the pro level. You're probably going to see a 60 person pro show. It's crazy, because everyone's getting condensed and everyone's trying to qualify for the Olympia. And, you know, nationals, same thing. If you look at probably nationals in November in Florida, you're probably going to see like a 1400 person national. It's going to be crazy, you know, at the end of the year. So I think there's two sides of it. One, you're never going to have a more challenging time to find like what your dedication to this really is, because this is going to be the hardest it ever will be. Staying at home and working out for a month is challenging. But then the payoff could be great. And then, you know, you have that weight of, okay, do I just keep going? And worst case scenario, if you just keep going, you're in shape. You know, that's the worst case scenario. You're in shape. you know, best case scenario, you're in shape. You do USAs, and you have, instead of 40 girls in your class, you have 10, 15. That's a pretty good way to justify, okay, I just need to stay motivated. But that's just my take on it. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, as a competitor, you're right. It is so hard to get into that 100% mindset without really knowing when the next show is. But for me, like, I'm really just doing everything in my power to stay lean, because my biggest issues are just staying lean. I'm not one to, like, be able to be super crispy and super lean all year round. I can get pretty fluffy pretty fast. Like, I've taken 2 weeks off before, like, on vacation, and kind of got a little fluff. So for me, being lean is super important in maintaining, you know, my physique to where at least worst case scenario, I'm a month out. I don't want to be farther than a month out. Okay. Because I am very eager to get back on stage, and, you know, I'm hoping I can make that happen, and hopefully it's sooner than I predicted it to be. I think this whole situation has thrown off everyone's season though. I mean, for me, I even mentioned in a few podcasts, I'm like, I really want to do international shows this year. I can't wait to do international shows. And it's like, I don't know if that will even happen. Not even in Canada. I don't even think I would. I don't think that that's going to be a thing. But maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that in July I can do something like the Vancouver or Toronto and at least some international show. You know what I mean? I really enjoyed Vancouver and Toronto before. So, like, I hope I can do that. And it's all going to depend on these next few weeks. Like, I'm sure a lot of you are aware of the news and their, you know, their prediction of when it's going to be the worst is in a few weeks. And then we'll get a better idea of how things are going to play out. But right now, it's so hard to make a prediction how this is all going to work. So hopefully I can get there and everything will be back to normal or somewhat back to normal. But I will say this, I'm really proud of myself for, like, pushing this hard with just home workouts. Like, I thought I would lose so much motivation. I thought, like, my body would just be on the decline. But I've, like, been able to maintain pretty good, I think. And part of that is having the accountability of, like, sending you a weekly check-in. Even though I don't know when my next show is really, I still send you that weekly check-in. So it's kind of like something that keeps me in check. It's important because it's as you know, it's a lot harder to work off that weight.
Yeah, and you made progress this week too.
Yeah, and I didn't even get a Loom from you. What the Zoom. I was so disappointed.
You had a quarter inch loss. That was crazy good.
No, I do feel lean though. I mean, for what it is, like, good. Feel lean. So
your
I don't feel
capped off.
Yeah.
What's that? I was like, dang, when I saw you, I was like, your shoulders are looking kind of cappy.
Yeah. To people listening to the podcast only can't see these awesome shoulder caps, but they're there, we promise. But yeah, I mean, I've just been making it work. And I think we touched on this in a podcast a few weeks ago. Like, you just got to make it work. Don't find those excuses. Do what you can and stick as much as you can to your regular regimen. Of course, you'll have to modify things, but don't change so many things of your normal schedule. Like, just because we're, you know, isolated, you know, still wake up as if this was any other day. If you're an early bird like I am, I still wake up early in the morning, still have the same breakfast. I do my cardio, but instead of it being on the Santa Monica stairs, I do it my apartment stairs. You know, and I lift here with my little dumbbells and my resistance bands, just like I would a normal workout, except for just slightly modified. So I try to keep that normal routine, as much normalcy as possible. That way I'm not, like, letting myself go. That way I'm not developing, like, bad habits, because that's going to be very easy to do now that we have all this time on our hands and we're bored in the kitchen. With all this food, people getting takeout, people just snacking, because it's just, like, you know, a form of entertainment, I guess, through your taste buds. So I think it's important to keep ourselves in check.
Yeah, that was really good. I like that. That was good. I think people will take something from that too, because I think it's easy to say, oh, I'll just wait till the gyms open up again. And then you don't realize, like, how far you're setting yourself back, you know, when you're just getting rid of your diet, getting rid of your workouts. Like, you're going to set yourself back months versus just being, even if you're just the same when you start the gym and that's the goal, is just to maintain, like, that's great, because then you're just going to make progress right when you start versus having to make up for everything that you gained and make up for the muscle that you lost and then not even being where you started, you know, until 3 months from now. So I think that's really great that you're, you know, putting that out there, you know? So as far as like the shows go and, you know, obviously with the pro shows happening, there's, I'm sure there's going to be some moving around with the Olympia too. So I don't know how that's going to go down. That's going to be an interesting one.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Anything in particular?
I think we're on the same page. We were talking about this the other day. I think they will end up making it like not only the points, they'll adjust like maybe like the top 20 in points or maybe a invite kind of deal as far as Olympia is concerned. I'm so happy that I don't have to worry about that because I qualified for life. Yeah. But
where's that? There it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Still there, the tattoo. But yeah, guys, I one of the perks of winning Olympia is if you win it once, you're qualified for life. So I don't have to stress out about that. Although I still want to do shows because it's what I love to do. I think they'll do like some sort of mix of invite competitors and points, adding more people to the point system since there are not going to be that many wins, I guess. Yeah. And also, I think we've already seen this happen. They extended the qualification window to accommodate better.
Yeah.
So they're extending it for us. So that was nice.
Yeah, I think it went out an extra 3 weeks, which doesn't seem like much, but I think that's like 4 shows, though, when you think about it. So I think in those weeks, there's a lot of shows. So the other thing, too, is, you know, they could always do things like if you guys, I don't know if even if you were around back then, but at a certain point, they had top 2 in bikini would get qualified for the Olympia. So I guess that could be a possibility again. I don't know if that was the first year. I forget when that was. That was probably like 2009 or 10 or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that could be a thing they do, too. I think invites will go out. You never know. I doubt they're going to push the Olympia back just because the venue's already rented out. You know, I just don't see how they would be able to do it unless it was just
right.
Open, unless it was already open. But yeah, I think that we're still going to see a really good Olympia and it's just going to be a weird year, you know, but I think it's going to be the physiques that you thought should be at the Olympia will be there. They just might not have had to have won a show to get there this year just because it wasn't possible. So I think that's the only real holdup. But the only thing that might be a little weird, I think that it might get, like when you see some of these bodybuilders who maybe they can't even get to the United States. I mean, hopefully by then everything's lifted, but you know, we'll see.
That's true. I didn't even think of that. The international competitors at a big show at the Olympia. I think by September though, I'm thinking it'll be okay by then. But yeah, it just makes it really difficult for, especially the international competitors right now that are in a different country and who knows when we will open the borders again for people to come in, because a lot of the shows take place here in the USA, but even if they don't, like there's shows in like Canada, you know, the UK, but that's like one show. It's not like we have here in the US, we're spoiled. We have shows like every weekend. So hopefully that gets resolved and that's not an issue.
Yeah. So we'll see. It's going to be an interesting year. That's for sure. But what I'm really happy about seeing, like especially with like my athletes too, is that I haven't really had that many people like drop off. Everyone that I'm talking to is like, you know what, I'm just gonna make it work. I just don't wanna degress and I'm gonna give it my best. And for the most part, everyone's still making progress. That's what I'm surprised about too. And what we've had people do is like just move, like just make up for their movement. So they wake up, they do their normal workout as much as they can, but then obviously their steps are way down, their total steps are way down. So we're having people do more steps, and like a lot of people have treadmills. I have one girl who can't like, can't leave her house. She's in one of these countries where it's like fully locked down. And so she does jump rope, a little bit of jump rope to make up for her steps. And then we have people that are just like, they're just outside walking around like lakes and stuff. And they're like, yeah, there's no one here. So we're allowed to walk around and exercise outside. So we just make up for steps. So that could be a trick for a lot of you out there. Obviously do it where you're safe, you know, don't do it in a crowd of people. But like if there's—
That's a good point. And yeah. I don't think a lot of people even take that in consideration. Like let's say they're at work and they're on their feet for 6 hours, you know, waiting tables or whatever they may be doing. They're on their feet, they're moving. We don't have that right now. We can't move that much. So it is important that we stay moving, you know, even if it's like just walking around your apartment rather than sitting, that's still better than just sitting and laying and watching TV. So I guess I'm more of a stander myself. I've been standing a lot like doing little tasks around the house and stuff like that. So I don't sit a whole lot, but yeah, it is something that I notice too. It's like, oh, I don't get to walk around as much, but you know, it's not gonna last forever. And this is gonna be the worst of it. And then if anything, this might even motivate us even more when we can get back in the gym, like be appreciative and be grateful for the gym and everything else that the outside world has to offer. Cause it's like something we take for granted, but now we can take a step back and be like, oh, I missed this. And when we can get outside and we can go to the gym, it's going to be like, wow, this is great. I'm never going to forget this feeling. So,
You know what? I think that's a good point too, and I hope there's a couple of things I hope people take from this, you know, I hope that like a lot of younger people, and this hopefully comes off the wrong way, I hope a lot of younger people will be more interested in saving and like keeping some for a rainy day instead of just like blowing all their money on, you know, new shoes and new whatever and that type of thing, because this caught so many people off guard, especially like people who are like servers and whatnot who are out of work now for, you know, 2 or 3 months. I just hope a lot of people take this lesson and are like, okay, I do need to save. I do need it for a rainy day just in case something happens, because we're never guaranteed the life that we had, you know, and we had such an amazing economy and everyone was thriving, but everyone was spending too. And there wasn't, you see so many stories of people who were like just thriving and then had no savings and were living like so paycheck to paycheck. And I do hope that people take that and take this and like, okay, just in case, let's set ourselves up a little bit better for long-term. And the other thing I want people to like take from this too is like, hey, we live in a country where us not having toilet paper is like a big deal, you know? And in some countries, they don't have any ever, you know what I mean? Like it's like, we're so spoiled that to us, it's like, oh my gosh, we're out of meat again at the store. But some other countries is like, they get meat and they're like, oh my gosh, we got meat today. Like, I think it's cool to like take it back, like just to live like this for a little while, and we're like, okay, this is how some people actually live their life. Like that are living in countries that are, they don't have the same type of freedom we have. They don't have the same type of foods that we have. They don't have the ability to have just this freedom and this great life that we had. So I think that, you know, now that we're like going to the store, we're like, okay, I hope they have meat today or something. Like, we can just appreciate that when it comes back to normal, that, hey, we live in a really great country that allows us to have a lot, you know, and just appreciate it a little bit more. So yeah, I guess there's my two takes on it, right?
Yes, no, I agree. And I think we've both mentioned before, like when we are prepping, what a privilege that is that we can eat healthy and exercise. Like, no one's forcing us to exercise, but it's important to just appreciate the fact that you are able to exercise. And when we get back into the real world, I hope no one forgets that one time that we had to stay at home for 6 weeks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then be like, you know what? This sucks on the treadmill, and I'm tired. I don't feel like doing this. But gosh, what's worse than this is just sitting at home doing nothing, right? So like, yeah, you gotta appreciate it. And I think everyone, when they can get back into the gym setting, it's gonna be so motivated and like just so determined.
Yeah.
And hopefully, no, they don't forget how it was like. So.
Yeah, it's a good. This is a good lesson. This is our big one. You know what I mean? Every generation has something. You know, the Great Depression. You had the Black Plague. You had the Spanish Flu. You had all these different things that people went through. So this is ours. This is our generation's, and hopefully, everyone comes out of it healthy. That's listening here. Look, you know, it's really one thing too that's really cool, and I hope people take from this, is that, you know, when we work out and we do this fitness thing to the extreme that we do it, we really do build a stronger immune system than the average person. And so, you know what, like the people who are getting it that are, you know, that are like at the extreme health levels, and they're such a high percentage of them aren't having any really bad effects of it. You know, you do have some that have some bad effects of it, but it's cool to say, you know what, like I earned a high immune system and it's paying off right now. You know, I'm one of the 99%, you know, because I've built my immune system up, I've taken care of my health, I've kept my weight under control, and I've done all these things to put me in that lower risk category. And I think that like, that's something, so congratulations to all you guys who've done that. And this is like, I think that is this hopefully will show the rest of the world, you know what, I do need to take care of my health. And we talk about extreme fitness all the time, but at least just fitness, you know, just take care of your health and fitness, because literally life was completely different a month ago. And, you know, the guys who took care of it and built their immune system up, they're better prepared for this war with the invisible enemy, right? So, I think that's such a cool, like, motivating thing for a lot of people who maybe could do better at that, you know, maybe could do better and could build that up a little bit more. So there you go. So congrats to all you guys that are listening who have earned that higher level of immune system in that lower
brain. Yay. You get a gold star. And to add on to what you're saying as well, the great thing about the sport is that it teaches us healthy habits, and it teaches us a lot about our bodies. We have a lot of knowledge now because of our industry. And what I mean by that is, if you tell somebody, a regular person, what do you do to be healthy? What kind of foods do you consider to be healthy? Some of them are going to be totally clueless and be like, yeah, I eat 3 Nutri-Grain bars for breakfast, I'm healthy. Or, you know what I mean? Or 2 bottles of water a day, I'm very well hydrated, I'm doing good. Like, in the reality of things, they're just clueless and they don't really know really what's healthy and how to treat their body right. But we do. We have that knowledge. Like, I know that this vitamin is great for immune system. I know that exercising is important. I know that I need to get an adequate amount of rest and stay hydrated. And I know what foods are going to benefit my body the most. Whereas, you know, like I said, the normal person might not have that knowledge that we have, because let me tell you something, this sport has taught me so much about my body, so much about food, how to eat right, and do all those healthy little habits that we don't even think of, but it's very difficult for some people to do because they're not used to it.
Yeah, for sure. There's always that initial learning curve, and then you just keep learning and learning. It's really cool, like, how even like someone who's not super into like the research part of it, who's like just a competitor for like a year or two, it's crazy how much they learn about, yeah, others, you know what I mean? They just have that lesson for life, and it's so cool. Yeah. So,
I mean, even like, for example, too, like, I've got a lot of like nutrition labels memorized, but like, we can basically take a meal and guesstimate how much carbs, how many calories, how many fats, how many protein is going to be in the meal without really even knowing the nutrition label. We have that knowledge. I think we're pretty good at it. So like, that's just like another example too.
Remember that, which is funny, because I like, there's that one time, and even so, just so you guys know, Ashley's even good internationally with this stuff. There was this one time we were in Japan and I kept drinking these coffees. Do you remember that? I was drinking these coffees and I was like, oh, it's cool, it only has 15 calories in it, but the whole label was in Japanese, like symbols. And I was like, I don't know, they're really good. I kept drinking them because it was only 15 calories. I probably had like 3 a day. But then Ashley was like, if you look at it closely, that's it says per milliliter, and there's 500 milliliters, or per 100 milliliters. I was like, I've been drinking like, I think each one had like 20 carbs in it of like pure sugar. I was so mad, but it was in Japanese and I had no clue, you know? So that's really funny. So Ashley's really good at reading labels. Anyway, that was a funny story. I was so mad when I drank that. It was kind of like your root beer story.
Yeah. Oh God. I'll share the root beer story real quick. Just for the heck of it, it's funny. So my favorite beverage is Diet A&W root beer. So I had my boyfriend go to the grocery store and I told him, give me a few Diet root beers. So he brought it home and I started drinking it, and I probably went through 1/3 of the 2-liter. And it took me till that point to realize, wait a minute. This isn't diet. This is the real stuff. Like, I was so pissed. The labels look so similar. Like, I didn't notice at first. And the taste, honestly, didn't taste any different. Diet A&W is so good that you can't even tell the difference. Real or fake, or diet or real. And I was so pissed at him. I yelled so much because I'm just like, oh my God, I literally consumed like 100 grams of sugar, like of empty calories. Like, you know what I mean? And it's like, sucks, because it's like, it's not like you have a cheesecake and you can enjoy it. But for something like diet root beer, there's like, or root beer, there's a substitution that's diet. It's like quickly consumed calories. Yeah. You know what I mean? I was so pissed.
Yeah, you make it worth it. That's, they have that, you know what's good? They have that sugar tax in UK for like, if you drink a sugar drink versus like a diet drink, there's like a sugar tax, like you pay extra for it. I think that's how it works.
That is crazy.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, so maybe this, like, this, because it, the unhealthy are higher risk, maybe they'll start doing more things for more health stuff out here too. Maybe there's more, like, more mandates on it and stuff. I don't know.
It'll affect and them. With that being said, I wonder if this is also going to raise people's, like, the obesity level here in the U.S. because not everyone's doing home workouts like us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're probably right.
So, like, the people that are, like, not really used to doing that, we might get a higher level here of obesity. I'm curious now.
Well, yeah, that's a good point because a lot of people are moving a lot less and they don't realize it. And then you're at home eating more.
Yep. Eating.
Dang. I didn't even think about that. That's a whole nother
thing. Lots of takeouts.
Man. Yeah. And then, so I guess that's pretty much it. I mean, do you have anything else on this, Ashley?
Yeah. I mean, while we're kind of on the subject, you know, we gave our, you know, workout tips in a previous podcast if you want to check it out. But I think it's also important just to throw in a few helpful tips how to remain happy and healthy and have that super strong immune system, or as strong as you can make it anyway. So I'll read off some of my tips and then you can chime in too if anything you'd like to add. You know, things to just stay healthy in general during this time of staying indoors. A lot of people don't realize we're not getting as much sun because we're indoors. So make sure you take that vitamin D. It's very helpful in the immune system. Make sure to stay hydrated. Remain active, of course. Be productive. Get ahead of the games. Organize things. Whatever you can do just to not be sedentary. distance yourself from negativity in your life, even if it is just texting or something, maybe a YouTube channel that keeps popping up or negativity on the TV. If that's, you know, if it's something you're obsessing over, maybe distance yourself from a lot of negativity. Stay informed, but not obsessive over it. Engage in healthy distractions, that things that like kind of take your mind off things, stress relievers, whether that be knitting a sweater or, you know, completing a puzzle. You know,
knitting a sweater.
Yes. How many sweaters have you knit so far, Adam? How many?
I just don't even know where that came from.
I don't know how to knit. I'm just, you know, throwing out ideas. As we mentioned, get in the steps, you know, because we don't want to sit all day. We want to walk around, even if it is just indoors or outside when no one's out. You know, just get in those steps. Continue to eat healthy even though you're in a different situation. And although food is always around and you can order takeout and you might be bored, your taste buds are bored, continue to eat healthy. That's very important. And, you know, give up. This is the perfect time as well to give up any bad habits you might have had, such as going to the bars on the weekends or something like that. Now's the time. Quit those bad habits and be social, but only digitally. That doesn't, you know, this whole social distancing thing should be like personal distancing, because you can still be social. You can still text your friends and FaceTime them. Because, you know, listen, it's when you're thinking of being healthy and immune system, one thing that can really take a toll on the immune system is stress and anxiety and worry. So if we can eliminate that as much as possible, it's really going to help us and thrive and remain happy and healthy, because it's super important. A lot of people don't take in that consideration, like your mental health as well. So mental health can take a toll on your physical health.
Totally. That was really good, Ashley. You should be like I feel like you should take this video and put that up. That was a good tip thing. Good for you.
Ashley, I had them all written down because I was gonna do a future video.
Ashley's the most organized person I know. It's so great. I think you covered those quite well.
You know, do you have any you'd like to add it to help anybody out there remain healthy and happy?
You know, this is what I want to get out there too. And I think that you covered all the basic, all the fitness stuff. I think you covered most of that. But one of the things that I think, and you cover some of the mental stuff too, but one of the things that people, I think the biggest concern that people have is like economically, like where we're going to be and whatnot. You guys need to understand, like, out there, this, our economy was doing so good, like so good. Yeah. Before this happened, it's on hold. It hasn't crashed completely. The experts and stuff, they're saying, I don't know. They're all saying it's not crashed. It's just on pause, which is essentially like a temporary crash. But he's like, it's going to come back, and we're even paying for it to come back. So like, there's going to be a lot of people out there that are having their unemployment checks and whatnot to get them through the next couple of months, which is obviously going to be an income adjustment, but it's going to be bounced back pretty quickly. So we still have that economy, guys. It's just on hold, you know, everyone's taking a hit, you know, and then the thing is just be prepared for it next time. So don't let that like really depress you, because it's not like it's gone, you know, it's might be affected to some degree, but it's not going to be like collapsed, you know? So that's what a lot of the experts are saying. They're, you know, they were talking like the top guys. So just throwing that out there for, I think people need to hear that.
Yeah. Because you know, something on the news, you're always going to hear like the worst of the worst case scenario, like, you know, so it's just, although it is important to take that in consideration, just don't obsess over all the negativity, because there is always a silver lining. And although it is a tough time for a lot of us, it could be a lot worse as well. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that we're honestly in a pretty fortunate position. There's some countries that have been at war for decades, you know, and like, that's what they have to deal with every day. We're at war with a bug that we can't see for months. You know, we know that there's an end to this at a certain point. We don't know when that is. But at least we know that, hey, it's not going to be a war of 10 years. So, you know, we just have to stay inside for a little while. You know, it's not that, you know, and I hope that as many people can live as possible. So it's not like, I want to, in the grand scheme of things, I think it's just an inconvenience, you know, and we're just trying to get through the inconvenience of it and stay healthy as we can. And that's, I think that you had really good points on just staying happy with it and not watching the news all the time, because that can suck you in, man. That can suck you in so bad. And, yes. You know, they're only going to report the bad, you know. It's just like on Instagram, we watch the trolls on Instagram. You could have 1,000 good comments and that one bad one is the one you focus on. So the news has figured that out and they're going to make it as juicy as they can, because that's what you're
going to get,
you know. So
I mean, even in regular news too, like you see it, like let's say that this didn't happen. When you turn on the news, it's notorious for being like mostly negative, because that's what gets people's attention, right? If everything was just all so joyous, no one's going to click on it. They want clicks. They want views. They want you to watch their program. I'm not saying that they're lying or anything, but, you know, not many people put a positive spin on this. They're always going to make it sound the worst of the worst. So, you know, I think it's important to stay informed, to stay updated, but don't obsess too much over it. Which, side note, slightly unrelated, but when a big thing like this happens, there are so many like conspiracy theories that pop up, and there's hundreds of them now. And I'm just like, sometimes, like, I'm not claiming to be the smartest person, right? And I'm not like a political person either, but some of these are just so wacky, these conspiracy theories, and they're kind of toxic because they share these crazy, crazy like conspiracy theories. Then their friends comment, "Oh my God, you're so woke." Oh my God, I hate that word. Woke, you're so woke. Because they kind of cherry picked like points to make their statement true. Because anybody can write an article online and make it make sense. Like I can convince at least 5 people that I invented these sandals. I bet you. And I, you know something? I can prove that too, because I have like one time in my snaps, I was drinking out of a mug that had a butt on it. It was my booty mug. And I was like, I drank it and I'm like, yeah, guys, see this booty mug? This is how I made all my butt gains. And I literally had like somebody believe that to be like true and wanted to know where I got it and how it contributed to my gains. Like, people are gullible, man. Yeah. And like I said, I'm not claiming to be like a super intelligent person. I'm not anywhere near your intelligence level, but I'm just like, oh my God, like these, oh my God, how can you believe, like, how can you believe that? Like, I'm just, I don't know. But apparently they do. And people are so freaking gullible. And I'm not really pinpointing any conspiracy theory, but I'm just saying there's hundreds and some are so wacky. Like, some are just like, wow.
That's funny.
Somebody believes that.
I've seen those too. And I'm like, well, it's not like it's like people are saying it's a country or whatever. I'm like, it's not like it was one country that's suffering from it. It's the world. The entire world is suffering from it. It's not like it would be a structured attack.
But
what have you been watching on YouTube? Like, what are your favorite YouTube channels right now? Because, like, I'm watching a lot of YouTube right now, but not like, I don't watch the news. I do my updates. I just want to see where it's at. But the rest of it's just YouTube. And I'm watching a lot of positive stuff. I don't know, just by...
That's good.
What about, do you have any channels that you could tell people?
For the situation to stay updated, I watch Peak Prosperity. I watch Dr. John Campbell. I watch Dr. Mike. And I also watch the national, like, addresses, I guess, live press conference things to hear it directly from the source. Because some of the other news channels are a little more biased, so I don't want to... you know, fake news and stuff like that. So I try to stay well informed, but not in a biased kind of manner from a news source. So, and then of course, I don't even click on the conspiracy theories because I'm just like, this is ridiculous. Some of them are crazy.
What about your fun stuff though? Like your regular, like get out of your mind, like stuff things.
Gosh, let's see. There's... my thoughts will probably offend you. I like that. Her name is Michelle McDaniel. Yeah, I watch her on YouTube. Huh?
I started watching her after you told me.
Yeah, I feel like she says what I think, but I would never say it. So, like, she's very blunt and very honest, but she's not really offensive. She just kind of pokes fun at the people that get offended by things. But anyway, I watch her. And I watch the Philip DeFranco show. not a lot of fitness stuff, believe it or not. But my favorite YouTube channel that I always watch and like and subscribe to is this one channel called Team Elite Physique. great.
I was so excited too.
So many good ideas from that channel. Amazing.
I do subscribe to your channel, and as soon as I see the bell go off, I like instantly watch it. I'm always like one of your first views.
Oh wow.
But you know what I'm watching?
Well, you're kind of shy all up in that comment section though.
I know, all critical stuff.
I'm just kidding, you don't have to comment.
I'm watching a lot right now is this thing called the dodo. And it's like they take these dogs and they rehabilitate them, and animals, they rehabilitate them, and they find them like in dire circumstances, and then they show all these rehab stories. And it's such a teary like show. Like you watch it and it's like so sad to see this dog, and you're like, oh, who would do that to a dog? And then they rehabilitate him. And it's like such a positive thing. They find him new homes and stuff. It's called the Dodo. I don't know. I love it. It's so cute, you know? Because I love dogs. And then I'm watching Kristen Guzman's thing right now because he's doing his whole new gym, which is cool because I'm going through the same type of struggles, right? With like, I've gone through it building this gym and then building the new one, so I can like relate a lot. So I think that's pretty entertaining to like watch it because I know exactly what it is he's going through. Yeah. And it sucks. Just so you guys know, like Ashley went through it with me to like get this gym like going, and she saw all the paperwork and all the city stuff and all the codes, and it was like a year of like getting through it. It's brutal to get like something started. See, what else am I watching right now? Vice has some fun stuff, and then of course all the strength RX Muscle, Mixed Strength and Power.
Me too.
Yeah, that's always fun too. And for my gossip stuff, I do a Kenny KO to watch my gossip stuff. He's fun. He's bad. I love Kenny, he's my friend, but yeah, he's a good gossip guy. Gossip channel. So anyway, anything else we got for everyone out there?
I just want to tell everyone out there, hey, you, you're awesome, man. And nobody can do it quite like you can. So I want you to take that hand of yours. You choose the right or left. crisscross it over your neck, like so, crisscross, touch your shoulder blade, give yourself a pat on the back, because you're doing okay for yourself, okay? You are awesome, and the fact that you made it to the end of this podcast, you're just incredible, and I admire you so much, for doing so, and like, don't ever, ever let anybody tell you that you are not awesome, because I will be the first person to go all up into that person's face and be like, don't you ever say that again to this awesome person that literally just listened to this entire podcast. Who do you think you are? Who?
Ashley.
How dare you? Don't you ever do that again. That's what I would say to them.
So, Ashley, you're so great.
You're doing okay.
You're so great. I just love how you started off with the finger point. For you guys who are out there who can't see this, the finger point was epic. Ashley's so sweet. When she starts pointing fingers, things are getting serious.
So serious.
At a whole nother level, bro. So yeah. Anyway, thanks so much for listening or watching, however you saw this. Make sure to subscribe to Ashley's channel. Every Monday, she does a new video, which is really cool. She's been consistent with that for like over 2 years or so. And always great information. And thanks so much for watching, guys. We will talk to you next time. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay smart. Talk to you later.
Toodles.